Days after social media restrictions were implemented for kids, one of the banned platforms has announced it will challenge the laws in the High Court. Apps like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok have set up age verification software to comply with the ban for kids under 16 years of age. But in a notice on Friday, discussion forum Reddit said the law was, in its view, unconstitutional and it had been wrongly included. It's the second challenge to the laws, with two 15-year-olds listed as plaintiffs in another case backed by advocacy group the Digital Freedom Project. Anne Twomey is Professor Emerita of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney, and welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
This is the second filing against the social media ban in Australia's High Court. Take me through the basis for the challenges here.
Okay, so the basis is the constitutionally implied freedom of political communication. So one of the effects of this law is to prevent young people from using the main mechanism by which they can communicate their political views to politicians and to the rest of the community, and indeed for the community to hear them. Because young people don't really have access to mainstream media. They're not going to be interviewed on Radio National normally, or be able to write op-eds
sometimes,
in newspapers.
But not often.
Look, social media is the main way. I mean, it has democratised things in terms of letting people sort of express their views to potentially a large audience, and that's being effectively cut off.
Now, this is an implied right. It's not an absolute right to communication. What do previous court rulings tell us about the extent of free speech in Australia?
Okay, so this is a key thing. The High Court in the past has said, look, if you make a law that burdens the implied freedom, so that means restrict it, the law will be invalid unless, and here's the thing, unless it's for a legitimate purpose and the law is reasonably appropriate and adapted to achieve that legitimate purpose. So what that means is the law really needs to be focused on achieving the other legitimate thing that you're trying to achieve with as less as possible a restriction on free speech. Okay, and so that's where this law becomes problematic, because this new law, despite being described by people as a social media ban for under 16s, doesn't actually ban any under 16 from social media. That's not what it does. There's no law that prevents someone who's under 16 from accessing social media. The law does a different thing. What it does is it stops people under 16, or it stops the platforms allowing people under 16 to have an account. Now, you might think, well, isn't that a proxy for the same thing? It's not, because quite a number of these social media platforms don't require an account to see all the content. So if your concern is to protect young people from harmful content, the law's not doing that, because you can, for example, see everything on Reddit virtually without an account. Same with YouTube. If you want to watch YouTube videos, you can see almost everything except for things that are only for 18 and above, and that was the same anyway if you had an account under 16. You can watch those YouTube videos to your heart's delight all night, all day, whatever. Same with TikTok, okay? You can access TikTok and you can see the content, harmful or not, without an account. So the problem we've got here is that on the one hand, what it says it's doing in terms of trying to protect young people from harmful content, in many cases, it's just not doing at all. Young people can see the harmful content. They can have their sleep disrupted. They can keep scrolling videos all night. They can keep looking at posts all night. What they can't do, however, without an account, is the self-expression bit. They can't upload their own videos. They can't make their own posts. They can't comment on people's videos. So it's disproportionate in terms of affecting your ability to communicate as a young person while not actually adequately protecting you from harm. And so that's where the key problem is going to be from a constitutional point of view.
So in your view, do you think there are strong grounds for this on a prima facie basis?
Yeah, look, they do have a good case. I mean, it'll come down to really fine distinctions when the High Court has to decide whether it's disproportionate, whether there's some other way in which the law could have been enacted, which would be equally effective in terms of protecting young people from harm, but having a lesser effect on free speech. So all of these are judgment calls, but, you know, is there a proper basis for bringing this argument? Yes, there is.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where constitutional law expert Professor Anne Twomey is our guest. We're discussing the High Court challenges to the social media ban. Can you give us a sense, Anne, of a bit of the mechanics here? Like, how long could it take for a case like this to be heard and for the High Court to make a ruling?
Well, the High Court's already sort of set up the timetable proceedings for the other case, the one brought by Digital Freedom Project. It's odds on that the two cases will be heard together at the same time. So it's already on a track in the system, but they've got to agree the factual basis for the case before it can come on. So they're coming back to the court to get further directions in February, probably later heard sort of mid-year, I would guess, and some decision towards the end of the year. But it might be faster if it's a considered to be something that's actually having a real impact on people now. We'll wait and see.
And while I've got you, I want to ask you about another matter. We've got former MP Zoe Daniel and Rex Patrick launching challenges in the High Court as well. This one against the changes to the Electoral Act that changed political donations laws. They're arguing it makes it harder for independents to run for Parliament. Do you think a challenge to these laws was inevitable?
Yeah, I think it was inevitable. There's already a challenge in the High Court to some provisions in the Victorian law, which have a similarity to what's in the Commonwealth law, although they're not as the Victorian provisions are more extreme. So there's already a case there that's going to be heard early this coming year. And it was fairly inevitable that similar issues were going to be raised by independents and small parties, because the new law does, again, disproportionately affect them. So, again, I think they've got a reasonably good case in challenging that one too.
All right. Well, there's going to be plenty to keep an eye on, Anne. We might have to check back with you as these cases go through. But thank you very much for explaining from the outset how these cases are shaping up. Anne Twomey, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.